Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This week's episode is brought to you by Breathe, starring Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy. As we head into award season, critics rave that Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy deliver award-worthy, brilliant performances. Garfield is remarkable, and Foy, a true force of nature. Discover more at BleecherStreetGuilds.com. Hello, this is the Bart Fleming Podcast. I'm Peter Bart.
Mike Fleming here.
So, Mike, it's tempting to avoid revisiting the harassment scandals, but they keep coming back to bite us. And not only are there new accusations being made in entertainment and politics and other arenas, but if you think about Hollywood alone, there are growing signs that the scandals are affecting decisions of what films and TV shows are being made and who's in them, and it's also affecting how shows are being received by critics and the public. And more than that, the scandals are pointing up, I think, a new crop of difficult questions for the show business community, given the fact that actors and filmmakers have acknowledged bad behavior. So how severely should we judge them? We're in the penalty phase now, and that means we have to think about questions like, should we send the offenders away for life? Should we slam the door on a career like Charlie Rose's or on a brilliant creative executive like John Lasseter? I mean, both have taken extended leaves of absence, but should these leaves be permanent? What do you think, Mike?
Well, I think you can't lump all these guys together. I think it depends on the offense. I mean, Dustin Hoffman making comments to young assistants is not the same as Louis C.K. whipping it out in front of a female writer who he's basically their boss. I mean, that's, to me, is just unconscionable. Charlie Rose walking around nude in front of women who work for him. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand what these men are thinking. I don't know whether this is a power trip. And I also don't know if any of these guys have actually walked in front of a mirror and gotten a glimpse of themselves. And I don't understand why anybody why they'd want to share that with anyone.
But see, now we've got to judge their work. And do we judge their work by different criteria? I mean, Matt Weiner, who created Mad Men and was a target of some allegations, he's now making an important TV series that was originally initiated by Harvey Weinstein. So should the new work be judged by different criteria? I mean, we're all amused by the scenes in Mad Men where we're showing men chasing their secretaries around the office. But are these scenes now distasteful rather than funny?
Well, I guess we're all going to have to make those decisions ourselves, but I think, you know, so the question is, did somebody engage in a lapse of judgment? In the case of Matt Weiner, he wasn't really accused of really doing anything physical to anyone. He was basically
Correct.
Accused of saying something, something to a female writer, and it offended her. That was enough to take Roy Price down. I don't know. In this case, I think we're all going to basically have to decide for ourselves, and we're going to have to grade how someone's behavior makes us feel about the art that they generate.
Well, I agree, and we also have to think about the decisions being made. And I know I was reading Justin Chang, who's terrific critic for the LA Times. And he was saying, What concerns me about the industry response is a tendency toward wholesale erasure, whether by dropping problematic projects or re-editing certain works, like as PBS is doing, cutting Franken out of the David Letterman tribute. So Justin is saying it'll be fascinating to see how transparent and House of Cards move forward without their leads. And for that matter, you know, Ridley, you've covered Ridley carefully, you know him well, but his decision to erase Kevin Spacey, is digitally airbrushing away also symbolically going to change our behavior?
Well, again, I think it's a case by case situation. So in the case of Ridley Scott, I have to say I thought that was a very gutsy move on the part of the director and also the financier Dan Friedkin, where basically they were looking at their movie going down the drain because it would be impossible to get the stars to market the film. Because the only question they'd be asked to answer is the one about Kevin Spacey. So rather than do that, they decided, you know, Ridley, who once told me that he can read a script for the first time and see visually every single shot the way he would shoot it in the film. It's kind of one of his superpowers, right? So
right.
A guy like that can just see exactly what he needs to do, you know, down to the second to erase Kevin Spacey from the film, and that's what they're doing. I think that's kind of a bold stroke. I mean, we've just seen Jeremy Piven's series not get picked up, and you know, that unfortunately that's happening quite a bit. So to me, the greater problem with that is there are a lot of people who basically had a job, and now they won't have a job. These people did nothing. They didn't harass anyone. They are just basically wearing the shrapnel for alleged misbehavior.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how all this will affect the planning of pictures in the future, and also the award season is upon us. I know you were at the Gotham Awards, and it's interesting to me the nature of the nominations. I mean, the ultimate indie pictures, the Florida Project, Lady Bird, I, Tanya, Call Me By Your Name, Good Time. I mean, once again, you know, we're in an era where, and I think it's going to be true of the Oscars too, where the awards are being given to pictures that have their merits, but very few people are going to actually see. And you wonder, whatever happened to that era, like, where the awards went to Forrest Gump and Titanic and Braveheart and pictures that had appeal to a mainstream audience.
Yeah, well, so there's one of those kind of more traditional Hollywood type films that Steven Spielberg directed. It's called The Post, and it stars Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep, and it's basically the story of the Washington Post's role in exposing the Pentagon Papers. And so that'll certainly be a big offering. And you have Dunkirk out there. I mean, I know it came out in the summer, but that is certainly a big Hollywood studio-type film. And, you know, there could be some surprises. I mean, you know, last night at the Gotham Awards, you know, Get Out certainly made a big showing for itself. This would be the rare genre film that would make you know, that rises above what genre films usually get at award shows, but that certainly warrants it. I mean, this might be the most inventive genre film since Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, I agree. That's it. But we're heading into that era where every year the Globes and the Oscars honor a whole different kind of Hollywood. I mean, the Globes, year after year, give their top awards to The Revenant or American Hustle or Argo or The Descendants, as an example, while the Oscars, God love them, they tend to go to Birdman and 12 Years a Slave and The Artist And last year, that famous mistake where Moonlight rather than La La Land won. So it's like the Oscars are committed to the independent community, whether that's by intention or not. And the Globes, they want to please their audiences. It's a very contrasting situation. Do you think it'll happen again this year?
Well, and it'll. I imagine, but I think when a major studio looks to greenlight a movie, I don't think they give a lick about awards. I think they're basically trying to figure out, can this thing be a global blockbuster? Can this thing be a four quadrant film? And so I think that creates the gulf between the average, most of the studio slates and the independent sphere.
This week's episode is brought to you by Breathe. USA Today proclaims that Breathe could earn Andrew Garfield his second Oscar nomination. Rolling Stone calls his turn a fierce, fully committed performance and a loving tribute to a courageous man. Learn more about this remarkable story and Andrew Garfield's performance at BleecherStreetGuilds.com.
So, just to switch subjects here, I wonder if our listeners are aware of the massive wave of consolidation that's sweeping through the media community. I think most people are tempted to take a wait-and-see attitude toward all this stuff. But I think one day people are going to wake up and discover that these massive deals have radically changed the kind of entertainment that they're seeing, and even more important, influencing the way that the media delivers news and information. So it's complicated and it's fun to ignore, but the trouble is it too is going to come back to bite us. I know you've been following this stuff, Mike. How do you feel about it?
Well, are you specifically talking about the Meredith acquisition of Time Inc. and those magazines?
Well, certainly that's one issue of it. It's first place you have just the issue of politics. The Koch brothers, who are hard right advocates, have essentially taken over Time Incorporated, which is Time Magazine, People Magazine, Sports Illustrated, and all its digital holdings. So the new owner technically is Meredith Publishing, which published Farm magazines. But it's the Kochs who are going to be wielding the power. And that's interesting only when you compare it to the fact that Tribune Media, is very stolid and responsible. They're being taken over by Sinclair, which is, again, an aggressively pro-Trump organization, which will now reach 70% of American households, and that the whole idea of cross-ownership is going to be demolished so that a single company in a town will own a newspaper, a TV station, a radio station, and control everything and the message. So, my only concern is whether or not people are going to wake up to realize that this is changing the way they get their information.
Well, I guess the danger is that magazines could certainly turn into what many people feel that Fox News became. And even the New York Post became under Rupert Murdoch's stewardship, which is basically very conservative, political-minded publications that some would say are actually polarizing in their political views. And so now Fox News, I don't think has ever put itself up as an entirely objective coverer of politics.
I'd say,
it clearly has a bent. It pretty much always has. And so it is very possible that what you see on the cover of these magazines could reflect the same kind of sensibilities. And there's a large segment of the population that elected our current president that maybe don't trust the media at large and basically just want to be told what they want to hear. So certainly, this could be very problematic.
That bumps us into this whole question of the acquisition by AT&T of Time Warner, now which is technically being opposed by the Trump administration. But if that goes through, will the phone company, AT&T, will they decide to spin off CNN? Or will they spend billions of dollars on HBO programming, which is needed to withstand the challenges of Netflix and the other streaming services? And for that matter, what effect could it have on Warner Brothers movies? I mean, this company that the films were once mandated by a character like Jack Warner, and now it's the phone company that is really going to own the company. Again, will this change along with, you know, with for one way it'll change, Mike, and you and I are keenly aware of this, the number of studios is going to be reduced in the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, you have Comcast bidding for Rupert Murdoch Studios, film and TV, and Disney as well. I mean, you see a massive shrinkage in the marketplace, don't you think?
Well, I think that you have just so depressed me that I would like to swing the conversation back to sexual harassment.
I don't want to depress you. I also don't want to harass you.
No, I think you're, look, all of the things that you raise, I know we're distracted right now with these scandals, but these big picture down the road situations are very disconcerting. The idea that a major studio could be altered or neutered, I mean, Fox generates a lot of films, and there was originally talk about possibly a team up with Disney, and now you've got all these other prospects. But the idea of seeing Fox, you know, somehow made less than it is right now, it that's got to be the most chilling thing to talent agencies, to people working in the industry, to all over the place. This kind of consolidation never works out well for the rank and file people who basically rely on this business for a living.
That's right. I see. Well, I think on all these levels, the through line is that we're living through very transformative times. And I think they're transformative in terms of just the structure of the business, and also in terms of the morality and the behavior of people in the business. I mean, it harkens back in some people's mind to the 60s, where the issue is that it's so different then, because in the 60s, it really was about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It wasn't about people parading around nude or touching people's butts. Everything was sort of down to earth and in many ways much more complicated to figure out, because the men and the women both were liberated by the sexual revolution. So the behaviors, some of which are being reflected today, those behaviors in a funny way were influenced and determined by what happened, you know, one or two generations ago. But it is a transformative period now, and it bears no relationship whatsoever to the way things were in the 60s and 70s.
If I could say, many of the instances that we've cited, whether it's Harvey Weinstein or Ratner or Louis C.K. or this one or that one, is about men exerting power over women. And you could say that maybe there's some hatred for women here, that we're talking about. And it's just the worst instincts of when someone gains power and leverage over another person. And basically, you know, you have young people coming out here with stars in their eyes and ambition, and that is so pure and it's good. And the idea that people would take that and twist it for their own strange needs, to me, it's just is repugnant. And so I say, for the most part, what we're seeing right now is will be remembered as something good.
Well, I hope so. And you mentioned the possible subtext of, is there some sort of incipient antagonism toward women, which causes these things to take place. And as the end result, unfortunately, will that spur a suspicion and a hatred on the part of women for men? Will men and women be able to work together in a creative way to make movies and TV shows? You and I both believe urgently there's a need for more women to present themselves in powerful positions, directing films, running studios and TV networks and so forth. That's important. But all this is going to be, I think, more difficult because of these incipient antagonisms between the sexes that we see manifesting themselves now.
I don't know. I like to think that there are way more people with good morals out there than bad. And basically, this tidal wave is going to wash through, and it's going to take some of the bad ones with it, and it'll be a better place afterwards. I just hope it washes through soon.
Well, I agree, Mike, and I too hope that this will result in an optimistic turn of events, and that we can all live together and work together much more intelligently. This is what we all have as our objectives. It's been a tough slog in the meantime, hasn't it?
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Bart and Fleming podcast. To ensure you never miss an episode, make sure to subscribe for this and all other Deadline podcasts in the podcast app, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you next week.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.